So good to be in the house of the Lord today. Why don't you touch your neighbor and tell them, I'm so glad to see you in the Lord's house on a Sunday morning. It's a beautiful spring day. Great time for breaking up a new garden. Springtime preaches to us. God laces it all throughout the texture and all throughout the tapestry of everything that we are and everything around us. Morning and night preaches to us about the resurrection power. Springtime preaches to us about resurrection power. It's a wonderful day to be alive in the kingdom of God. No matter how awful and bitter the winter was, God built it into His creation to show you and to tell you there's always going to be another day. There's going to be a thaw. There's going to be a bolt of light and heat that'll come down to wherever you're buried and how deeply you're stored away. However cold it is and however long it's been, God always has a springtime. And God, oh, now it may be in the temporal, in the natural. You may have a number of resurrections during your lifetime. Ask Joseph. He'll tell you. You can lose a coat. You can lose a life. But God can raise you up into another place by purpose and by God's design. Today we are so excited about the prophecy that's coming to pass on every hand. It should be a shaking and a wake-up call for all of us that Israel is in the land and that Persia and Russia are doing business, nuclear business, and that the nations are aligned according to the prophets of old, and that as Jesus said, Jerusalem will be trodden underfoot of the Gentiles until the time of the Gentiles be fulfilled. Hello, Jerusalem is Jewish. That means our time is up. Turn to your neighbor and say, your time is up. You say, right now, today? Well, I actually don't think today. I don't mean you couldn't go today. Because on a beautiful spring day, you could step out. Wake up on the other side with the issue already decided. That's why you've got to be right today. That's why you've got to live for Him today. Life can hit you. You know, in London every year, there's a lot of tourists that get killed by buses because the traffic's coming the other way. And you're looking this way and you step out. No. I'm serious. But life can do that to you. The unexpected can happen. So I wouldn't leave the house of God today if I didn't know that my name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Now, you can rationalize all kinds of things. Well, I need to think about this. I need to study about this. No. You need to follow the Word of God and respond to the need of your soul today and make it right with God. Don't go another day. I guess this is a preamble. I don't know what this is. But the prophecy's coming to pass. He's coming back. This thing's wrapping up. You can't keep what you're building here. You can't take this with you when you go. Make it, achieve it, build it, love it, use it, whatever. Here, He gave it to you in abundance. Have all you want, but know this. The only thing that's leaving here is that immortal soul. And how is it with your soul today? Praise God. We're going to read a text out of Hebrews chapter 11. And then we're going to do an overview of Daniel chapter 6 today. Daniel in the lion's den. Good Sunday school fare. Yeah. Praise God. I don't even know you biscottos over here. You've never been over here. You're always over there. You're migrating. Church is more interesting when you move around like that. Glad to have all of our visitors here. Glad to see you in the house of the Lord today. If you'd like to invite a young person to the Ignite service this Friday night, We have flyers in the foyer, nicely done by our promotional team, who they always do great work, Sister Shauna and Sister Linda Pate. And also just a generic flyer for the church. Nobody special is coming. Just us. But God's here all the time. And that's pretty special. So when you buy a jug of milk or you get a Whopper or you go through the drive-thru at Taco Bell, hand this through the window and say, hey, there's a website on the front and a map on the back and schedule of services, and this is a great place to come see all the smiling people. These are real people. These are not models that we hired. These are real new lifers here smiling a big smile. So come and see why they're smiling. Or something like that. You know, you'll work out your own way of doing that. But invite somebody to the house of God. Hebrews chapter 11, and beginning in verse 1, and everyone say faith. And say favor. Everybody wants the favor of God. But where does the favor of God come from? I hear advertisements that say, you need to come to us and get the loan that you really deserve. Well, you don't really deserve the loan. That's why they're going to charge you 47% interest. That's why they look like a pawn shop. That's what they are. Get the benefits you deserve. It's a big theme in advertising today is get what you deserve. Well, you know what? You usually do get what you deserve. Except when you're dealing with God. If you work it right and you serve God, you will not get what you deserve. Well, praise God, because I deserve to go to hell. I deserve to split hell wide open. But I'm not going to get what I deserve. But there's a lot of buzz in the Christian community about favor. How are you? I'm blessed and highly favored. Well, I like good, positive confession. But you need to know today where favor comes from. Because the favor of God does not fall just anywhere. And we're going to talk about that today. How to walk in the favor of God. I'd rather have the favor of God than all the money in the world. I'd rather have the favor of God than friends in high places. But how does that come to us? Hebrews 11 in verse 1. Everyone say, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. So that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. And then down to verse 32. After he's gone through the faithful of God. This is God's hall of fame here. And he runs through faith and faithful people from Abel all the way down to the entering into Canaan's land and the walls of Jericho. Verse 32, he begins to wrap it up and to summarize. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, David also and Samuel and of the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again. Now, up to there, it kind of looks like favor. But after that, you might have to reevaluate a little. And others, everybody say it, others, because we'd like to project this on others. And others were tortured. not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. We're talking about the favor of God. Were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute and afflicted and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and caves and dens of the earth. And these all, everyone say, and these all, having obtained a good report through faith. I'm going to stop right there because I don't want to discuss what's coming after that. But to just jolt your attention to this. All of these, the ones that survived and the ones that died, it was by faith and they all obtained a good report. The ones that were walking through the Red Sea on dry land, and those that had angelic guards all around them, and those that were sawn asunder, they all received a good report by faith. And I want to tell you today, they were all blessed and highly favored. Beware you don't commercialize the promise of God and mistake it for the American gospel, which is prosperity and all things good in the natural. You know, buddy, if you really believed God, you wouldn't be sawn asunder like that. Because it gets sometimes where you feel like you're getting sawn asunder. Never had that happen to me, but I've had life do some really bizarre things to me. Okay, you're wondering, but let's sit. And as you're seated, let's give God praise and thanks for His word that is forever settled in the heavens. We magnify you, Lord. We lift you up. We worship you. We thank you for your word, unchangeable, immutable, fixed forever in the heavens. Your word, the source of all things. Your word that defines us and makes us a people. Your word that makes all things possible. Your word that is a strong foundation for us. We give you praise for your word, mighty God. And everyone said amen. Amen. Praise God. Faith is not what you feel. Faith is what you do. Faith is what you do. And if you look at it, love is what you do. And all of the major and priceless things in the Word of God are literally what you do, which really screams in the face of modern Protestantism or the pseudo quasi non-biblical Christianity that's beating the drum today that works don't matter. Let me tell you, when you get to the end and you stand before the throne of God, the books are opened and another book, which is the book of life, and every man was judged according to his works. And James, elder brother, apostle James, not Luther, but James, said that your faith without works, dead. Works. Faith is what you do. Faith is not what you, well, I believe God. Well, then you're doing something about it. Faith is a choice. Faith is a decision that is extrapolated into real time by action. Verses 32 through the latter part of that 35th verse, those are people who walk by faith and God delivered them in the natural. But verses 35 and a third to 39 and a half, those verses are about people that wandered in sheepskins and goatskins and dens and caves of the earth, of whom the world was not worthy. They were stoned, they were tempted, they were sawn asunder. I want you to know that both of those groups were people in the kingdom of God who walked in victory, who walked in faith. The Bible tells you that. And I'll tell you this, they walked in the favor of God. Because the favor of God is not dependent on how much money you have in your pocket. It's not how your natural dreams turn out, but rather the favor of God. If he gets you where he wants you to go, if in the end you get where God is taking you, that is the hand of the favor of God. God may cause you to lose a very valuable job, but he may save your soul. God may cause you to lose a very powerful friend, but he may save your soul. God may cause you to walk through a valley you never would have chosen to walk through, but at the end of it all, if he saves your soul, that, my friend, was the favor of God. Anybody ever walked in a valley that you would not have chosen? But when you got on the other end, you looked back and said, y'all meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Praise God. So these all received a good report through faith. Were they all favored of God? I want to submit to you that they were blessed and highly favored. There's a sneaky thing that happens when culture merges with theology, and you wind up with the Americanization of Christianity, so that it's all about what happens to you in the natural. Success or failure determined by your natural estate. In the Old Testament, I looked at David, and David said, you know, I almost backslid. He said, my foot almost slipped when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. He said, how are they doing that? And they're sinners. And look at the struggles we're having. Talk about dens and caves of the earth. David had some trouble in his life. And he said, I almost slipped. But then he said, I remembered the house of the Lord. I remembered purpose and direction and destiny and what this was all about. And it's not about the trinkets we pick up along the way. If you get some, good. If you're blessed in the natural, wonderful. If you have in that in abundance, that's a wonderful thing. It's not always a guarantee in the kingdom of God. Don't get your eye off the ball, because it's about the destination. Somebody say praise God. Does the natural outcome indicate favor with God? Nay, I say to you, no. Verse 33, when he says, stop the mouths of lions. Guess who he's talking about? He's talking about Daniel. In the next verse, when he says, quench the violence of fire. He's talking about the three. He's talking about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're Babylonian names. And then when you get down to and others, he's talking about those situations where it didn't turn out so splendidly in the natural. God's favor. Psalms 30 and 5. Everyone say, in his favor is life. Psalms 30 and 7. Favor made my mountain to stand strong, David declares. 44 and 3 of the Psalms. Your inheritance comes by favor. Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, my inheritance comes by favor. Let me tell you, you really do want the favor of God in your life. You really do, but you may not gauge it exactly as God gauges it. 89 and 17 of the Psalms, authority grows by favor. 119 and 58, David says, I entreat favor with my whole heart. And lastly, Proverbs 8 and 35. Wisdom is the speaker here. And wisdom says, for whoso findeth me, findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. Praise God. So it doesn't just come, and it's not just a natural occurrence, but favor comes as you live out your faith before God. Joseph was favored by birth just because he was Rachel's child. And he was the child of Jacob's old age. Joseph was favored by birth. He didn't have to do anything. He just showed up and he was favored. But he was favored because of what someone else had done. That someone else being Abraham and Isaac and Jacob And God had a commitment with them. I've seen the grandchildren of people who no longer live for God, but at one point they lived for God with a lot of excellence and fervor, and they gave themselves splendidly to the things of God. And God watches them and tracks them and lays his hand on a little curmudgeon grandson or granddaughter that never was raised up in the church, but God remembers the faithful days of that backslider and lays his hand upon that little grandbaby and begins to steer them into the ways of the truth of God. That's favor. And the child didn't do anything for it. All that child did was show up. But God remembers the faithful lifestyle of even a backslider. And he's looking. The scripture said he goes to and fro in the earth seeking to show himself strong. God's looking for somebody that he can put himself on display for. God's looking for somebody that he can pour out favor on. God wants to pour out favor. But for Daniel, favor was directly connected to his faith. Daniel chapter 6 is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. And some folks make a difference between a lion's den and a den of lions. And there is, I suppose. But that's not really what we want to talk about today. Verses 1 through 3 in Daniel chapter 6. Daniel's favor moves from Babylon under King Nebuchadnezzar through a seismic shift when Persia overthrows Babylon and they have a new king and a new government. Daniel shows up in the authority hierarchy in that new governmental system, which is something almost unheard of, even in modern times. Barack Obama did not keep Dick Cheney as his VP and would not have. You just don't do it that way. But this is how it was in Persia. Darius, the king, sets up 120 princes, and over them three administrators, and Daniel is chosen to rule over those three presidents or administrators in Persia. His political and social and kingdom clout moves with him from Babylon all the way into the rule of Persia. But it's not a political nor a social entity. It is spiritual. That's why it's got legs, and that's why it's got strength, and that's why it's durative, and that's why it builds bridge work. It doesn't matter where you are. If you've got the favor of God, you'll have it in China. You'll have it in India. You'll have it on one job, and you'll have it on another job. Somebody say praise the Lord. It's not linked to nor dependent upon temporal structures or constructs. Talking about the favor of God. It's not political or social in origin. Verses 4 through 9 in that sixth chapter. Faith and favor always create enemies. And so those people that were Persian in that kingdom that saw this Jewish boy that came out of the Babylonian regime taking authority and power over them and over their new kingdom in Babylon, ruled by the Persians, they were incensed and they tried to find fault with Daniel. They began to try to find some way to trap him. There was some political intrigue going on and they wanted to find fault with him, but they surveyed his life and could not find anything wrong with Daniel. And they said, if we're going to trap him, we're going to have to trap him according to his devotion to his God. And they go to the king and they talk the king into passing a decree that for a certain period of time, no one could pray or seek the help of any god or petition another god other than the god that the king of Persia worshipped. And the king didn't see the left hand moving there. He didn't see what was being designed or perpetrated, and so he signed it. And because it was the law of the Medes and the Persians, after he signed it, it was a decree that could not be changed. And when he found out the ramifications, he was really distressed. And the Bible said he stayed up all night trying to figure some way to save Daniel. But Daniel When he knew, the Bible says in verse 10, he knew that the decree was signed, he opened up his windows as he had aforetime, as was his custom. He knelt three times a day and he called on the God of Israel and he prayed. And he didn't care who saw him or what the conditions were, or who signed what decree or what the law said or anything else. He's faithful to God. Now his accusers rise up in verses 11 through 13. They rise up and they begin to tell the king, now this man Daniel, he's not obeying this decree that you signed. And the king is really disturbed by it, but there's not a thing in the world he can do to change this. Daniel has an advocate in the king, but the king can't change it. And there is in this faith walk, sometimes you walk through a situation knowing that something is contrary to your faith, knowing that something out there is that hates God and the kingdom of God, and that by taking a stand or making a decision that you're going to move into a place of irreversible consequences. Daniel knew that, and yet he walked right into it. But it came to the place when they dropped him down into the den of lions, that the king put his seal on the stone, and it was by the Medes and the Persians' unchangeable law that he couldn't come out until daylight. And then the king went home, and he began to pray, and he began to worry, and he began to meditate, and he fasted, and he didn't sleep all night because of his concern for Daniel. There was faith and favor moving during that night. The king, helpless in anticipation, stays up all night long. We don't know what Daniel did all night long, but I've seen pictures of it. And he's just kind of standing there. I don't know who took the pictures, but he's just kind of standing there among the lions. And I think everybody in the lion's den was frustrated. The lions, because they couldn't eat him. And Daniel, because he had to spend the night in such a lousy hotel. There was an angel there sent by God, by the favor of God. And the angel shut the mouths of the lions. And then in verse 19, the king comes down in the morning, or rather earlier in the chapter, he comes down and he cries out to Daniel and says, has the God that you serve continually, has he spared you? Has he kept you during the night? And Daniel cries out, O king, live forever. And he begins to tell him the story of his deliverance and the angel. And then the king makes a decree throughout all the land. After he's fed the adversaries to the lions, he cast all those mid-level politicians into the lion's den. They and their wives and their children, everybody went down. And before they hit the bottom of the den, their bones were crushed. And the lions had mastery over them. And at the end of this chapter, there is this proclamation that the king makes. Verse 25, then King Darius wrote unto all people, nations, and languages that dwell in all the earth, peace be multiplied unto you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble in fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God. This is a pagan king. For he is the living God, steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall never be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even unto the end. And so the Persian king begins to be a prophet and begins to be a herald and sends out letters with a king's authority promoting the God of the heavens. This doesn't happen unless Daniel takes a detour into the lion's den. This doesn't happen unless Daniel walks down into a place he never would have chosen to go all by himself. But the favor of God was not only upon him to deliver him, but the favor of God had positioned him into a place where the name of God is going to be magnified in all the world. Let me ask you now, what is your motivation? What is your sense of purpose? Are you about a bigger number in your checking account, or would you like to see God magnified in all the earth? Would you like to live in a bigger house, or would you like to see God magnified in all the earth? Would you like to have your punch list of natural desires fulfilled, or would you like to see God magnified in all the earth? Favor always moves toward the magnification of God. Well, praise God. And our attitude about that is, you know, I've got some things I'd like to see, God, but nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. I've got some dreams of my own, God, but wherever my dreams collide with yours and I'm not in harmony with you, let's take care of your dreams. And I know how it works. My heart will be content when I see the dream of God fulfilled in my life. Somebody say praise the Lord. Come on, you got to get on board with this. You'll forever be frustrated all of your life. If you believe that the natural things are an indication of the blessing of God in your life. Now, it's good for you to look at good things and say, God has blessed me. Because that's appropriate. And that's right. But we understand that Job lifted his hand up out of the rubble and said, I came into this world naked. I'm leaving naked. But I want you to know before I go, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed is the name of the Lord. And in round two, or chapter two, he ends the initial interaction there by saying, shall we receive good at the hand of the Lord and not evil also? And in all this, Job sinned not with his lips. Somebody say praise the Lord. If you love him today, let's clap our hands unto him and bless his name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. If you're walking through a valley of sickness, I know that God is a healer, but he may be telling you, like he told the apostle, I am strong when you're weak. And Paul said, therefore will I'll glory in my sickness and in my trouble and in the adversity and in the persecution. I'll lift up my hand and say, God is still good. God is still God. And my voice will resound in the heavens, a testimony that favor is not indicated by the natural, but by the spiritual. Spirit is primary. If your natural world is primary in your life, you'll always be the servant of the natural. And you'll always be on an emotional roller coaster because the natural world is on an emotional roller coaster. And in the end, when you begin to decline and when you begin to die, Satan will come into your sick room and use you for a speed bag. If you were the child of God, if you really believe God, I thought he took stripes for your healing. I thought every day was going to be blessed. Only good things. They taught you that if you had faith, all things were possible. And his position is totally intellectually dishonest. Because nobody lives forever. Not in this stuff. You're a lying devil. Everybody dies. We've got thousands of years of prophets and patriarchs and kings and faithful people that live for God. All of these people in the hall of fame of God in Hebrews chapter 11, they're all dead in their body. But that doesn't matter. What matters is where are they standing today? Where are they standing in their immortal spirit? That's favor with God. Walking on golden streets, that's favor with God. A mansion in glory, that's favor with God. You're not nearly as excited about that. I know you want a bigger paycheck, but you ought to shout about the spiritual things. My God, I'm afraid that if I preached 10 ways to become rich, that you'd already be down here shouting and giving seed offerings. when you can get a better response out of a message on a dollar than you can get out of a message on the cross. The Americanization of Christianity is complete. We shout about Peter getting a jailbreak because it's wonderful that the angel woke him up and brought him out. But in that same chapter, elder brother apostle James got his head cut off. And that's why Peter's in the dungeon anyway, because it pleased the people. And Herod said, let's do it again. Lay your hand on your neighbor and say, what about James? Well, you see, if James just had faith, James could have had an angelic deliverance too. If James would have just walked in faith, he obviously was not in favor with God, because they cut his head off. Revelation 20 and 4. And I saw the souls of them. I saw thrones, and power was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, because they would not take the mark, nor worship the beast. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Let me get this straight. I keep thinking it might appear magically. Let me get this straight. They cut their heads off, but they lived and reigned with Christ. Let me get this right. They cut their heads off, but they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Let me get this. They lost their heads. They lost their physical body. Their head went one way. Their body went another. Have you ever seen a chicken with its head cut off? I believe you're going to shout one more time. That's the advice. Talk in tongues till your head hits the basket. And then your body's going to take care of the rest. It's going to shout. Until it quits. But it doesn't matter. You say, well, you're joking about something pretty serious. Well, I am. Your life and your death, that's pretty serious. But let's step it up a notch. Something more serious is the condition of your soul. Do you know that you can lose your body and yet live forever? That's what Jesus was saying. He said, if you eat of this bread and you drink of this wine, you'll never die. Anybody have that promise? Right now, in the palm of your hand, do you have that promise? Is anybody planning on living forever? Is there going to be a great getting up morning? And are you going to be a part of it? My God, my God. Oh, we got time right now. Just shout about it a little bit. Come help me a little bit. No, no. If I had preached about you becoming rich and God filling your storehouse, you'd be all down in this altar right now. Come on, we're talking about everlasting life. We're talking about your name written in the Lamb's book. We're talking about forgiveness of sins. We're talking about the door kicked off of death and hell. I want somebody that's got natural trouble, but you're right with God. I want you to give somebody a high five and say, I am blessed and highly favored. You know, you can lose your home and still be favored. You can lose your job and still be favored. Life can kick you upside the head in 100 different ways. Doesn't mean you're not favored of God. It just means perhaps God's taking you somewhere that you might not have gone on your own. Now, I'm not trying to work an appeasement here for if you've lived like a fool and you hadn't, you just rolled over in the morning when the alarm clock went off. and you let your kids run in the streets and do anything they wanted to do, and you only lived for God about 15%, and you did more of what the devil said than what God said, and your life is in shambles, I really do believe there are some natural corollaries to living for God. I really do. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen a seed of begging bread. God does take care of business. But it's when these lion's den things come up. I was joking with the Biscottas about sitting in another place. And it just may be because they're thinking, maybe if I sit in another place, all that stuff will start falling on. Let's see who's. Oh, the Romans are sitting over there. You had no idea you were in a hot seat there this morning. Maybe if I move to another place. This valley's been years long now. This burden's been years long. And you're not by yourself. There's a multitude of God's people that get up in the morning, they shoulder up under it and say, praise the Lord. And every now and then you see them and they look like they're grimacing a little bit. Well, they're carrying some weight. When you carry weight, it makes your lip do that. I don't know what yours does, but yeah. But it has nothing to do with the favor of God. Let's look at the criteria. Is your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Do you know that your sins have been washed away? Are you bearing the name that is above every name? Are you filled up with the Holy Ghost? When you get down on your knees in the morning and in the evening, is it that you have that heavenly language flowing through you like a river of living water? My God, let me tell you, that is the favor of God. Praise God. You better strengthen that up a little bit. Yeah. Because when you get off in this area and you start with the na 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 na, 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 we could veer over into depression. Yeah, just a little energy. That's right. Everybody say the arena of faith. Daniel was already in the arena when the lions showed up. See, you read that story and you think that Daniel dropped in on their world. But the lions dropped in on Daniel's world. He was already in the arena of faith before the lions ever came into the narrative. Somebody say praise the Lord. He had lived for God in backslidden Jerusalem. He was already in the arena of faith. He had lived for God and walked through the valley of Ezekiel's valley of dry bones. He had seen his peers and his contemporaries slaughtered by the Babylonians. But he kept on walking in faith. Daniel lived in the arena of faith. In chapter 1, he stood in a pagan land and said, I won't eat the king's meat. I'm telling you, Daniel lived in the arena of faith. In chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar said, if they can't tell me what my dream was and the interpretation, kill every wise man in Babylon. But Daniel said, hold on, there's a God in the heavens who has an answer for all the king's questions. Somebody say he lived in the arena of faith. Can I suggest to you this morning that because he lived and walked in the arena of faith, favor lives in that same arena. So that whatever comes in there, it meets your faith, but it also meets the favor of God. In chapter 4, he told Nebuchadnezzar, you're going to be cut down and fall like a mighty tree, but God is going to raise you up again. You know, it takes faith to talk straight with a king. In chapter 5, he does the same thing with Belshazzar. That's the chapter where the hand writes on the wall. And he said, Belshazzar, this night you've been weighed in God's balances and you've been found wanting. And your kingdom has been divided between the Medes and the Persians. He said, you're going to die tonight. And instead of being executed, he had a gold chain hung around his neck. And he was promoted in the last few hours of the rule of Babylon. In chapter 6, he goes into the lion's den. But what really happened there was the lions came in to that place where Daniel was living. Because it didn't matter if he was in Jerusalem or in Babylon or in Persia or in the king's house or in a den of hungry lions. Whoever stood there with Daniel, be it a king or a lion, they all stood there in Daniel's arena of faith. And where he stood, favor flows like a river. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. If you're in trouble in this house today, I want you to know if you're living for God and you're obeying the word of God, the favor of God is with you. The favor of God may show up in areas where you don't necessarily expect it. And it might not show up where the natural, non-biblical Christian world says it ought to show up. But don't be worried about that. You be worried about this. You be worried about what the promise of the word of God has declared. Somebody say, praise the Lord. I'm done here. Now listen. Here's what Daniel had. Chapter 6, verse 3. He had an excellent spirit. Everybody say an excellent spirit. Chapter 6, verse 4. He was faithful and he was faultless. They couldn't find a fault in him. You want to look for the secret of his favor? I'm giving it to you right here. Verse 10, he understood authority. He knew that the decree was signed, but he knew that the authority of God was greater than the authority of the king. And so he just knelt down and opened the windows and prayed anyway. He understood that God's authority trumps. It doesn't matter what your boss tells you. It doesn't matter what a politician tells you. It doesn't matter what a government will tell you. It doesn't matter what social pressure tells you. God's authority takes a higher position over all those things. Praise God. In verse 22, when he talked to the king from the depth of the lion's den, he said, King, it was because I was innocent before God and innocent before you. And in verse 23, it just simply says, he believed his God. We're talking about favor. We're talking about faith as the catalyst for favor. All over the house, I want you to just lift up your hands and begin to call on the name of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For those of you that are backslidden and you're not living like you ought to, you need to be down in this altar today because you got to find God's approach to favor. So you've got to come down and have a prayer of repentance. Seek the face of God. Open up your voice and call on God. And God will cleanse you. And God will forgive you. And God will open up a door for you. Praise God. But if you're just going through another valley, and the devil's been lying to you and telling you, where is your God? I want you to come down to this altar and I want you to tell him, I'm innocent before God. I've been doing everything I know to do. This is just a valley, but it's taking me somewhere that God is going to get glory. All over the house, let's begin to pray. Begin to press in and pray. Receive the Holy Ghost, evidenced by speaking in other tongues, God will give you that today. If you've never ever been down in the water in Jesus' name. We've got a precious little girl about to go down, and you can come on too. We've got everything you need. All over the house, whatever you need, God's got it for you today. To find somebody that you can lay your hands on, or somebody you can join hands with today. And I want you to pray for one another this morning. Come on, church, press into that. Somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost right here. Somebody's going to get the Holy Ghost this morning. Could you press in right now? Everybody that has the Holy Ghost, just begin to press in. Speak in tongues with authority.